to Wilfred for helping us there this morning. And I don't want to thank myself, but I have to thank myself for playing the piano because Mrs. Hurley couldn't be here today. So I could say I'm stuck, or I could say you're stuck, but I still have to play. And thank you, Wilfred, for taking care of that. Appreciate what you did for us this morning. I do say to you again today what I try to say to you every single opportunity that I get to teach God's Word, that I appreciate the response, the opportunity for the blessed opportunity to open up the Bible. Thank you for opening up your Bible. Thank you for opening up your Bible and giving me an opportunity to share with you the Word of God. So would you open yours this morning with me to the first epistle of 1 John. First epistle of John, first chapter. First epistle of John, first chapter. The essence of Christianity is salvation. The essence of Christianity is salvation. When you say Christianity, you are saying saved. When you say Christianity, you are connecting yourself with the person who is the Savior. So I want to begin by saying to you today, what is the essence of salvation? I want to talk with you today about a topic that's included in salvation, and at the same time, something that makes salvation rich, and something that makes it more and more wonderful as the days go by. And as you know, as a Christian, you've got a whole host of blessings that are yours in the treasure chest that we call salvation. It sounds to me like that's a little bit too loud. Does it sound too loud for you? Could you go like this, or could you go like this? All right, thank you. We have in the treasure chest of salvation, we've got assurance. You've got assurance that you are saved. Inside the treasure chest, you've also got the constant cleansing of your conscience by the blood of Jesus. And then, of course, you've got the Holy Spirit who has come to live within you. Now, there are many, many more treasures. And among the treasures that I want to just bring to your attention today, I want to talk about the treasure of joy. I want to say something to you this morning above all of these magnificent blessings that we have because we belong to Christ. I want to say something about the joy of the Lord. Going back to the Old Testament first, I want to read a passage to you from the book of Nehemiah. Listen to these marvelous words. He said to them, "Go eat rich food, drink sweet drinks, send portions to those who can't provide for themselves, because today is consecrated to our Lord. Don't be sad, because the joy of the Lord is your strength." So joy is one of those treasures, as I said, that are in the treasure chest we call salvation. Matter of fact, this is what it says in the book of Ephesians. "Unto me, Paul, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." So I'm saying to you this morning as I begin that among the unsearchable riches is joy, the joy of the Lord. Now, if we'd be honest about it, let's be honest, of course, we would say that our joy is somewhat sporadic, and for some of us, no joy. Well, if it's non-existent, that should tell you something too. What I've done today is I've turned your attention, I hope, by God's grace, to a particular passage to say to you this morning, the path to full joy is what's on my heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is what we need. You told us that the word is like food. It's like water. We thank you, Lord, that it's sweeter than honey. Thank you, dear Lord, that it's precious than anything that's in the world. And yet, Father, we know that when we neglect it, when we miss out on what your word says, Father, we miss out on life and we miss out on what we need. And so I pray, dear Lord, this morning as we look at your word, we pray that the hearts, all of our hearts, Father, would be receptive. Because, Father, we know that apart from our heart's willingness to receive, we stubbornly stand by and say, no, we're not going to receive. But we would pray, Lord, that you give us the heart that's willing to receive what you say in your word. And, Father, that you might build us up with this holy joy that is ours because we belong to your Son. In whose name I pray, amen. So what's really on my heart today? Is a word from David. He said, "Rejoice, restore to me the joy of thy salvation." So I want to say today something I hope by God's grace to connect for you, clearly connect for you, salvation and joy. I want you to see what does the Bible have to say. Now, I want to begin by an illustration. I hope that you'll like this illustration. But I want to say something about marriage as it pertains to what I'm going to speak about this morning. Did you ever wonder why it is that so many marriages start off beautifully? They start off wonderfully. Somehow, in the process, the marriage doesn't become wonderful after a while. And that's why I think many marriages break up. Because it's not wonderful anymore. Because I find the Bible teaching that marriage is wonderful. I don't know all the reasons why people split up. But for sure, one of them is this. They don't fall out of love. They fall out of joy. If it's no longer wonderful, they're not going to work at it anymore. And they're not going to participate. Now, my wife and I live in close fellowship. I don't know if you knew that. But I like my wife, and she likes me. We've been married long enough, so now that we like each other. That's terrible, isn't it? It's so sweet that sometimes it's hard to contain. It's so wonderful. Now, you can only find that sweetness in one other place, and that is in your relationship with the Lord. So I'm going to say to you today, as I begin, that joy is essential to a good relationship with God. So, as I said, restore unto me is the prayer. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Listen, folks, I am sure you can pray that prayer with me today. So what about the joy of your salvation? Where does it come from? How do I experience it? Having lost it, how can I recapture the joy? Now, fortunately for us, the Bible deals with these things. I'm so glad for some of these things that the Bible deals with that are so uplifting and so encouraging and so wonderful. Surprisingly, you're going to see in the passage that you have in your hand today in 1 John chapter 1 that joy is at the top of the list. Look at this, verse 1 with me, please. That which is from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, we have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we've seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you so that your joy may be full. You know, having fellowship with God means it's wonderful to belong to God. It's wonderful to belong to the Lord. Salvation is not a burden that you're dragging along behind you because you're just, oh, I guess I'm saved. Listen, folks, it's a delight to know the Savior, and it gets delighter as it goes. And one of these days we're going to stand into His presence, and the Bible says, in His presence is fullness of joy. I want to talk about your bank account too. You want to talk about your bank account? Oh, I guess I want to talk about your imaginary bank account for just a moment. Please imagine with me that somebody put $1 million in your bank account. Please just imagine it's in your account, and right now at this moment it's yours. It's yours alone. There's no way you can lose it. Now imagine this. Imagine not spending a single penny of that $1 million. How much joy does it bring to you? Not very much. Let's consider Jesus, please. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might abide in you, and your joy might be full. John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And here's one, Acts 13:52. The disciples were filled with joy. Here's one over in Romans. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Does anybody here get the idea with me that salvation and joy are almost intricately connected? That I may be filled with joy. Well, folks, just like your $1 million bank account, you cannot lose it. You cannot lose the reservoir of joy. Listen to what I'm saying. That reservoir is yours. But if you refuse it and you neglect it, you've refused it and neglected it to your own peril, to your own detriment. Do you really think that God, who has given you this, doesn't want you to listen, enjoy your joy? What's in your bank account? Well, there it is. Look at that. Look at that. That doesn't remind you of you, either as the baby or as the dad. Pure delight. Pure delight. Don't you love it when you see a little baby responding to his father like that? Joy is a precursor of heaven. You don't have any joy here. Chances are, be careful here. If there's no joy here, there's no heaven there. Listen, joy is a precursor of heaven. One writer puts it a little bit like this. Joy is the serious business of heaven. Can you imagine angels in heaven with long faces and unhappy? Can you imagine sad angels? It's an experience of being near to Almighty God. Another writer puts it like this. I can say that I never knew what joy was until I gave up pursuing happiness, or cared to live until I chose to die. For these two discoveries, Malcolm Muggeridge says, I'm beholden to Jesus. Here's what I want to say today. Number one is listen to the right voice. Everybody listens to voices. You listen to voices all day long. When I say voices, I also mean things that you're reading, please. I want you to listen to the right voice. John says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. So what's John up to? When you read this letter, what's he up to? He's been with Jesus personally. He's watched him. He's heard him. He's eaten meals with him. He's learned from Jesus. He's enjoyed watching people miraculously healed. He's become one of his disciples. And now what? So John says, since I spent 3 full years with the Son of God, here's what I want to say to you. Here's what I want to say to you. I want to declare something to you. Declare means to proclaim. Declare means to announce. Declare means to report. What does it say in verse number 3? That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. So John says, I spent 3 full years with Jesus. I saw the man of joy, and all I want to do is I want to tell you what it is to know this man. Do you remember Joseph, the Old Testament character Joseph? Do you remember Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob? Now Jacob's 10 older brothers were shepherds, and they were out in the fields shepherding, and Dad said to young Joe, would you go out and see what's going on with your brothers and bring me a report? That's all John is doing, is he's just bringing us a report of what it was like to be around Jesus. That's what 1 John is. It's a report of what it was like to be around Jesus. Please think with me about what the Bible says. John says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you so that it can have some kind of effect upon you. So I want to say this to you today, folks. Who is it that you choose to listen to? Every day you listen to somebody, every day, you do it every day of your life. So who you choose to listen to will definitely affect you, not only mentally, but emotionally and spiritually. Listen to the Holy Spirit in John. Listen to John as he speaks the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is the man who walked with the Lord. This is the man who knew the Lord personally. He wasn't only a personal disciple with Christ, he was an apostle of Christ. And his role in the body was to be a foundation stone. Listen to what Paul says. Therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So listen to John. You got everybody else to listen to, right? It's worth listening to if somebody's going to tell you something about something that's missing in your heart. It's worth listening to, it's worth reading about, it's worth learning from somebody who has the experience of joy, who wants to talk about the experience of joy. Who here thinks that joy should be at the top of the Christian's fellowship? Who here thinks that joy should be at the top of Christian fellowship? What does it say in the Bible? Listen to Jesus again. The thief comes not, but for to steal. And I'm going to throw in something here, folks. To steal, among other stuff, joy. To kill, joy. To destroy, joy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Who are you going to listen to? Who do you listen to? That's the question. Who is worth listening to, if not John? So doesn't it strike you that a lot of people that you know personally are joyless? Doesn't that strike you? Listen carefully. Joyless people are listening to voices other than John. That's what I want to say. Joyless people, who are they listening to? At least part of what John is saying here is that if you listen to him, you will increase your joy. So listen to the apostles, listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to the Bible. Where are you going to go for the words of life? Who is it that John says has the word of life? Who is it that John says is the word of life but Christ himself? Now some of you listen to yourself. Some of you believe yourself. I have some practical advice. Here it is. Weigh what you say to yourself against what it says in the Bible. Weigh what you say to yourself against what it says in the Scripture. How many times have you heard me say, learn the Word of God? Are you learning the Word of God? Or as the Bible said on your dresser, or at your office, on your desk, or in your coffee table, and only once a week you pick the thing up and bring it to church. Listen, the greatest book in the entire world is a book that will give you the joy. Listen, the book is the book that towers over every other book in the world. Listen to the Word of God. Here it is. Listen. The statutes of the Lord are right. They do something to your heart. You know what they do to your heart? Psalm 119, verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. They do something to your heart. Here's Jeremiah chapter 15. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me. Oh, thy word did something to my heart. It was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And here's Jesus in Matthew 13. The same is he that hears the word, and anon, immediately, with joy, receives it. How often is it that you look at the Bible like a book that's going to bring you joy? The Bible says it's the joy and rejoicing of your heart. The Bible is the word from heaven. The Bible is the word from the most joyous person in existence. The Bible is from the heart of God. The Bible, in part, is to bring your heart tremendous joy, according to what it says right here. You really imagine God being somebody who doesn't desire that you have joy? Is that the kind of God you think God is? He doesn't want you to have joy. Take it in daily, learn it, live it, love it, learn it by memory. Simply enjoy the reading of the precious, precious Word of God, and you will discover a measure of joy. You're not going to find it anywhere else. On the other hand, the devil does not want you to find the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is a person's strength. Listen to this. Even when you have problems, even when you've got trials, look what Scripture says. Even when you've got trouble, the Bible says this: my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various testings. I have a personal testimony for you today. I sat on a worn armchair in my living room, my head hung down with sorrow, and an ache in my heart that I felt nothing could possibly heal. I had not opened my Bible in what felt like quite a long time. I didn't want to. I wanted to fill the void of loss with other things or simply sit in my sorrow. My second daughter had just died. Could God's Word meet me in the utter darkness that surrounded me? Would I let it? Would I let Him? My husband, Kevin, came over and wrapped his arm around me tenderly, saying, I think we should read the Bible together. The tears that had been brimming at the surface gushed out without warning, and I simply said, I can't, I can't. Part of me didn't want to hear what God might say to my pain and sorrow. Part of me was just mad and angry. Part of me wondered if the Bible would contain the life-giving words I thought they were supposed to hold. I let the jumble of my emotions come out until finally, like Peter, I said, where else can I go? I know His words are the only place that hold life. I knew in those moments of such acute sorrow and loss that God's Word still held life, power, and hope. I knew there was nowhere else to go but to Him, and I had tried 1,000 other ways. I knew His promises were true, even though they didn't feel true, or when I didn't know how they would be fulfilled. That day when Kevin pulled out his Bible was a turning point for me in my grief, choosing to turn to God's Word for life regardless of my feelings. I wish I could tell you that all of a sudden my heart was rejoicing in God's Word, but that was not immediately true. I had many questions for God, doubts about Him and how He worked. I was mad and angry and just so deeply sad. Oftentimes we approach God's Word wanting to feel something, searching for voices that will fill the void we need to be filled in our hearts. God wants us to do something even better. He wants us to turn to Him when we turn to His Word. He wants us to come to know who He is. He wants us to know and understand His ways. He wants us to wrestle with our preconceived notions of Him, the questions that His Word stirs in our hearts, so that we would know Him deeper than we ever have before. He wants us to know His love, written through every page and story of His Word so that it would radically change how we view life, our circumstances, our sorrows, and our joys, and our futures. Says a woman whose second child had just died. Listen, please, to John, folks. Listen, please, to John, folks. I'm declaring to you, I'm reporting to you that the one I spent so much time with, He's the master of joy. I found it, my friends found it, and now I'm telling you so you can find it too. These things I write to you so that your joy may be full. I read from five books every day. Of course, I read the Bible. But all of these books that I read are from people who have learned and know the Lord. Shouldn't I listen to them? Shouldn't I learn from them? And when I do, I find a fuller and fuller joy in my walk with the Lord. So let me say to you this morning, folks, you listen to the right voice. The Bible says that you're going to have full joy. Number two, spend time with the right people. Listen again to what John says in verse number three. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you so that your joy may be full. John's telling us exactly why he wrote the book. Why did he write the epistle? So that they would have fellowship with them and joy, full joy with them. I want to remind you that there's something that is a treasure in the Christian life that I think that among the other things that many Christians miss out on, they also miss out on this treasure. And I mean this very sincerely, folks. That they've left it in the treasure chest. And that is fellowship with other Christians. Listen, folks. Here's the question. Do you really want to discover joy in your walk with the Lord? Do you want to discover the fullness of joy? Spend time with believers. We come to worship. This is the worship hour. Come for worship. But you also come to connect with other Christian people. Come to prayer. We come to pray, but we come to connect in fellowship with other Christians. Here's what you find. You discover that fellowship with other saints is a source of joy that you can't find anywhere else. Spend more time with believers. Come to the worship hour. Come to the prayer hour. Discover that fellowship with other saints is a source of joy the world cannot give to you. Now, I spoke a little bit earlier about husbands and wives, and I hope that it's a help to say something about husbands and wives. Can you not see the connection between fellowship with each other and joy in your relationship? So the question then is, do you find joy in your marriage? How do you find joy in your marriage? Exactly like what John says here. He says, if you work on the fellowship, you get the joy. If you enjoy the fellowship, you enjoy the relationship. Go for the fellowship and let the joy follow. I find so many passages in the Bible that have been such a help in my life. I just wish I had them all memorized because it's good to memorize them. Listen to Psalm 51. But let half of those... Let a few of those, let one of those who put their trust in Thee rejoice. No, that's not what it says. It says, let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them shout for joy, because you defend them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Listen, John's got a lot to say about fellowship. I hope you'll read through 1 John over the course of the next couple months. But John has a lot to say about fellowship. But first, he says, I'm writing this letter to tell you that when we have fellowship, we get joy. Can you imagine a church that doesn't have fellowship and has joy? God says in His Word, the church that fellowships together enjoys one another together. So John has a lot to say about fellowship. But first he's saying, I'm writing this letter so that you realize fellowship and you get joy. Now it's possible that you're missing out on some of the Christian life. I realize that. But let me say it this way from a dear sort of friend of mine that I read often. When you enjoy your fellowship with other Christians, you experience the presence of the Lord. You see, when you're saved, you have new desires. If your desires are the same as they were before you, quote-unquote, put your trust in Christ, something is wrong. Because when you're saved, you have new desires, and one of the desires of a child of God is for Christian fellowship. When I was in Lesotho a number of years ago, I noticed something that happened on Sunday that I'd never heard of in the United States. Some of the people who came to the church service would come for days by either foot or bicycle to get to the church service on Sunday. Some of them would come for miles and miles away to get to the church service on Sunday. Why is that? Why would they travel so far? Why would they deal with inclement weather to get to the church by Sunday for fellowship? I'll tell you why. When you're in that group and you see these people and the fellowship they have with one another and the joy that they have with one another, I wish I could just pick it up and move it to America. They're always telling me how much they want to come to America. I'd say, let's just lasso the whole church, sling it up in the air, throw it on a plane and get it over here and show Americans what happens on Sunday in church. And I mean that with all my heart. But it was a huge joy to my heart to just be around these people. Your heart is so full, it's overflowing. By the time you've been there, sometimes 4 or 5 hours, by the time you've been there with these people for that long a time, you think, I don't want to leave. And they felt exactly the same way. They didn't want to leave. I'm saying to you this morning, folks, but the desire for Christian fellowship is a desire that a Christian has in his heart. It's a normal desire for a Christian. The Bible says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It's normal for a Christian to want to be with a Christian. It's normal for a Christian to want to fellowship with a Christian. It's the normal Christian life. It's not anything but pure joy and the presence of the Lord. Miss it, you get to be a sour and dour and unhappy and unjoyful Christian. So I'm admonishing you to attend the church services. You know I do that, but I can't admonish the people that are not here. So that'll be your job to admonish them. But if you're missing out on the connection with other Christians, then you're missing out on true walking with God. Think about it like this. Suppose you had a dad or a mom, they're still living, and you don't have any time for them. You don't call them, you don't visit them. Your family and your work and your life schedule is too full for you to have any conversation or any time with them. How does dad feel? How does mom feel? Now transfer that very same thing to Almighty God. Yes, he's an emotional God. And he constantly wants your fellowship. Could you imagine God every day and every moment wanting your fellowship? You see, when Christians meet each other, when we're meeting with each other, whether it's by working together, praying together, worshiping together, singing together, we are doing so in the presence of the Lord. Let me prove it to you from the Bible. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I think, folks, that the greatest enjoyment for a Christian is to be together with others who love and enjoy Christ. I say the greatest enjoyment for a Christian to be together with other Christians who love and enjoy Christ. No human words can utter the sweetness we experience when we praise Him and speak about Him together. Fellowship is not a duty. It's an enjoyment. It's the greatest joy on earth. So what will it be? Joy? Fellowship? No. Joy and fellowship. Fellowship that produces joy is the Lord's way. So the question, of course, I'll ask you today is, do you enjoy your joy? That's a treasure. It's yours. Do you enjoy your joy? God's intention is for His people to experience His joy. It's bound up in one person, Jesus Christ. Is bound up in fellowship with Him. Is bound up in fellowship with His children. It's just the way it is. And of course, there are some who have never prayed the sinner's prayer. So they can't know the joy that you and I know. And the sinner's prayer goes like this: Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness for all my sins. I believe on your Son today as the one who paid for all my sins. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life in Him. Amen. Sinner's prayer. What about the believer's prayer? Lord, I want and I need your fellowship. Teach me today to know you better and to walk with you and to walk with your people in sweet fellowship. Father, you know our hearts. You know how we ache, dear Lord, to have a right relationship with each other and a right relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that you put the ache in our heart for what we really need in the depths of our being. And we thank you, Lord, that your answer is in the Word. And Father, we have this treasure in Christ. We would pray, dear Lord, even as we've gathered around your Word today, that our hearts would not only be filled with joy in the Word and in fellowship with each other, but truly, Lord, in fellowship with you. Thank you for sending us your Son. Thank you, Lord, that He has taken care of all of our sins. We give you the praise, all the glory, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.